Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Speaking of bringing in the hits, it's Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. What's up, Chip?
Hey, good morning. Nice segue. I'm not sure it's very accurate, but...
Would you have a better chance of writing a children's book or a hit song?
Oh, definitely a children's book. there's no question about that. Most of what I write is probably very childlike anyway. And I've known many songwriters in my life, and you know, there's some great ones here in the city of Athens, and that is there is not a tougher thing to do. And I can promise you about Colt Ford, he's not upset that Jason Aldean took that song to number one.
He is, as
you said, he's cashing in nicely on that.
That is the gift that keeps on giving. And I'll say this about Colt Ford. I get, and you know, a lot of folks in Athens, we've known him and known him for a long time. And whether you like that music or not, that he went and reinvented himself, and good for him. He's made the most of it.
Incredible transformation, and he can probably beat you and me both still in golf.
No doubt. I'm jealous of his golf game. Man, he is a great golfer. So, yeah, a lot of things there. So, anyway, Chip, obviously we're going to talk a little bit about the scheduling here and Oklahoma. Give us your thoughts on the Oklahoma thing and the fact, because you hear a lot of people grumbling about the fact that they're not coming to Athens until 2031. But what do you say to all of that?
Well, as I weighed in this morning that in my Towers take on Dog Nation, that I find it a little amazing that Georgia can't, you know, get these guys to come to Athens a little bit sooner. So I don't know that they don't ever share all that, and hopefully I'll get a chance with Greg McGarrity, and I guess it's Josh Lee and Josh Brooks who ultimately hammer these things out. You know, I'm sure there's a good reason why they couldn't get it before 2031, but I do think that's too bad. And then in general, they're trying to fix this, and obviously it takes long to fix anything in scheduling. But, you know, I thought for a while that Georgia fans kind of got short shrift when it comes to playing at home. Like, Georgia has scheduled a lot of new games coming up in the future, but you really got to get, you know, to the other side of 2027 before you see those guys coming back to Athens. And in the meantime, if you want to see Georgia play Oregon, or you want to see them play Virginia or even Clemson, you got to go to Atlanta and do it, which is not the same as having it in Sanford Stadium. And then after that, you got to go on the road. So I don't know what the details are as to why Oklahoma couldn't fit in, because right now, if you look at Georgia in 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025, Georgia's got openings. You know, they need some home games, and that would be a great time for Oklahoma to come in here or any of these other guys. But I know it's more complicated than I'm giving it credit for. I know you can't just tear up the schedule, and obviously we're all waiting right now on the SEC schedule, the next SEC schedule. And I'm not sure if that may have some surprises in it. I mean, we've already talked about what's going to happen with Auburn, what we think is going to happen to Auburn on the next set of the SEC schedule. But I'm not sure that nine games has been completely shoved away at this point. So right now there's some curious blanks on the schedule in 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. And then finally, UCLA comes to town in 2026. So I'm not sure about the details. I think it's a long time to wait. I think it's great, though, having said all that, that they're playing Oklahoma. I think it's great that they're going to play Texas, Florida State, and Clemson. It's, obviously the trend right now in the SEC, and I think in America for a lot of different reasons, and I think that's a great trend.
looking at just glancing at Oklahoma's future schedule, in 2020 they go to Army. 2021 they go to Tulane, and they also have a home game against Nebraska, and 2022 at Nebraska. So I would imagine they don't want to go on the road twice for a non-conference game. That could be one issue there. So this might be more of an Oklahoma thing and not just a Georgia can't seem to get them on its schedule. It could be Oklahoma doesn't want to travel.
Oh, I definitely think it's an Oklahoma issue. Yeah. It's not a Georgia issue, because I'm sitting here looking at their – you'd be proud of me. I actually give me a little grid. I got it out here on a piece of paper, you know, and I'm looking at Georgia's home and away, you know, between 2020 and 2031. And, you know, that's a long time. And you know, my conclusion is Georgia has some openings, but I don't know the reason why they can't fit them in there. And it's a complicated process. It really is, because you have conference considerations on both ends and non-conference considerations on both ends, and that could be very difficult to hammer out.
As far as these, we'll just call the Chick-fil-A kickoffs, and Georgia's scheduled for several of them, 2020 against Virginia, 2022 against Oregon, 2024 against Clemson. Now, these, tell me if I'm just way off here. This seemed to be sort of like a flash-in-the-pan idea for the last decade. Let's have this preseason neutral site kickoff. I think nobody embraced it more than Alabama. Nick Saban knew getting in front of people, you know, in Atlanta has been very good for recruiting. But looking way ahead, Georgia's scheduling all of these home-and-homes with other teams. Does that maybe eliminate the mindset of, hey, let's do a preseason neutral site? Or do you think that's going to get replaced very quickly by the home-and-home?
Well, that's a good point, Logan. I mean, I don't know. You know, obviously, Georgia was a little bit late to the party on the Chick-fil-A kickoff thing. I mean, I think Alabama definitely. I think Nick Saban saw that as a way to come into Atlanta and have a big recruiting impact. You know, I honestly don't think Georgia, you know, needs that, because Georgia has a major recruiting impact in Atlanta. You know, 24/7, 365 days a year, regardless if they play there or not. Probably true for Bama too, but you know, Kirby came in there right away and played in that against North Carolina in 2016, and just said he loved it. And the result was, if you look, you know, shortly after that, Georgia's playing in 2020, 2022, 2024. You know, I personally don't. I mean, I don't think it's great for Georgia. I think it's good to play in that venue every once in a while, but to play Virginia in it, you know, I don't know. And to play Oregon in it, well, you know, I'd much rather go across. I mean, I've always wanted to play Autzen Stadium, you know, so if you're going to play somebody like that, do a home and home, give it in. You know, Georgia fans have shown they'll go anywhere, right? Especially somewhere they've never been. I mean, I think so. I mean, that could have easily been a home and home there. And Clemson in Atlanta, you know, okay, I guess, in the kickoff game. But, you know, we all grew up, at least Dave and I grew up, where Clemson and Georgia were playing home and home, you know, 80 miles up 85. I think that's great that they're sort of renewing their rivalry, but I don't think you need to go into Atlanta to play it. Now, there are some things, and that, you know, I would have to dig into it a little further, and obviously I need to find out the other advantages to play into the kickoff classic. I know it's a national game. I know it gets a lot of attention early in the year. And I'm sure Kirby likes a lot of that it brings to the table. Otherwise, you wouldn't be playing it three times, you know, over the next 5 years, I guess it is.
And you make a lot of money, and you don't have to host.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we talk about with Georgia, Florida. You know, too, with mentioning Alabama, and you know, their model is changing too a little bit, because they were, you know, they always played that neutral site game to open the season, and then their other non-conference home games were crap, and now they're, you know, they've got Texas scheduled, they've got West Virginia, they got Notre Dame. I mean, how much of it at Alabama and the same for Georgia is it the alums are barking that for the amount of money that they're paying and for the experience, they want to see bigger non-conference games?
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, while Alabama has, you know, had this recent string of success, I mean, this long, sustained period of success, it's been done with that model. And listen, we don't hear about it over here, but I happen to know, you know, over in Tuscaloosa, they've complained about the home schedule for a long time. And I, you know, I mentioned that in my column is what their, you know, you're right. That's what their formula was. It was a neutral site game against usually a pretty decent opponent, but it was a neutral site, and they'd open the season like that every year. And then the other three games were like Charleston Southern, Georgia State, and whoever. And that was their schedule year after year after year after year. Well, if you're sitting there writing a check for, you know, $10,000, let's just say a year to your university, and that's who you get to see, you know, that now this is not to discount conference games. We all love the SEC. SEC games are what it's all about. But I think in the era that we're moving into, which is clearly the playoff era, and I'm not convinced it's not going to expand, and I think a lot of this recent trend to take on more of these out-of-region non-conference games have to do with they know there's going to be the safety net of a playoff being there at the end, and that an early season loss to a major opponent on the road is maybe not going to completely derail you from the opportunity to get into the playoff game that's going to wait at the end of the season. All of that, I think, comes in and has an effect on what the recent trend is.
I totally agree. If there's eight teams in the playoff getting creamed by a Bama or a Clemson at the beginning of the year, doesn't hurt you as bad, and you might be more apt to try to schedule them. So that might be something that would be and, you know, if you want to throw Georgia in that category too, that would be something. But like you said a moment ago, Bama versus Duke, Georgia versus Virginia, that's when the kickoff classic has jumped the shark. That's when it's not the same thing anymore. So
I agree. Yeah.
So that's where – and now there's more of those kickoff classics than there used to be. And that's where college football's kind of eating itself, where you have all the good games going on at the same time. So
it's the same thing they did with the bowl game model. You know, they just got too many. You know, they realized that, hey, look at this. We can make a bowl and we can make X amount of dollars. And everybody, you start hitting the pool and weed eater bowl. And, you know, now they're up to 40 or something like that. If you think about that, that's 80 teams that are in the postseason. You know, air quotes around postseason. So, yeah, I mean, that's what happens. Greed. The desire for money has always eventually undoes good things.
And I think when Bama goes to Texas in 22, it'll have been over 10 years that they had played a non-conference road game. So that's, you know. Now, granted, their arch rival is Auburn. They're in the conference. Georgia's arch rival is Tech, not in the conference. I know it's a little bit different for some of the teams, but still – I think you have to go back to like when they played Penn State a few years ago was the last time they played a non-conference road game. So, but hey, they get Texas coming to their place, and that's a thing. Let me ask you this too. This has been brought up. Will we start to see schools like Georgia that have certainly reached out to a lot of other schools and gotten turned down? Will we start seeing schools have to be more creative in the sense of, hey, let's – and Georgia did this with UMass, and I know it's not the same thing as a Power 5 school, but – trying to work out arrangements with football and basketball and baseball and other sports to where you try to get a football game schedule where you use the other sports as part of the scheduling.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, with Tom Crean on board, I mean, good Lord, guys, that recruiting, that's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm sure y'all talked about the new point guard that they have coming now and along with the others in the signing class and the transfer, six new players that are coming there. And you know, he has said that he wants to play, you know, a national schedule all the time. So, absolutely, I would think that would be probably – you use whatever you can to leverage an opponent to come. And look, that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, Sanford Stadium, Bryant-Denny Stadium, you know, generally teams don't want to come in there. That's like being a Christian saying, hey, you want to come to this nice Coliseum I got in Rome? You know, so you got to give them something in some kind of incentive. And I think that's definitely they're going to use whatever they can.
Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Chip, you already mentioned the point guard that signed with Tom Crean and the Georgia Bulldog basketball team yesterday. This is just – I'm not sure I've seen an overhaul in terms of just roster and what we expect on the court. Maybe this drastic in my memory of Georgia basketball. What do you think fans can start getting excited about? And Have you ever seen a signing class of this proportion with this basketball program?
No, I haven't. You know, not since the Fab, was it the Fab Five days,
right,
that came to Athens? I'm thinking of Shannon Anderson.
Yeah, Terrell Bell, Carlos Strong, Shannon Anderson, Cleveland Jackson, and Pertha Robinson.
Wow,
I think
you pulled out Cleveland Jackson. That was the one I was missing.
Yeah.
Yes. And you see what happened with that class. Actually, Tubby Smith ended up benefiting mostly from,
yeah, they went
from
to
that
the
group that came to Athens.
The last group to go to Georgia's, the last time Georgia went to the Sweet 16, it was that group.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this is pretty amazing. Now, you know, the only cautionary caveat I would throw in there is the thing about what Crean is doing here, this is a new group, right? So that's a lot of new faces to incorporate in there. And, you know, and then you got the Nick Claxton factor. I'm not sure if, the addition of Sevier Wheeler plus the transfer from Northeastern, Donnell Gresham, you know, that gives you six. Does that mean Nick Claxton's not coming back? Now he's heading to the combine for sure. Everybody and their brother is taking a look at him on the NBA front. You know, I'm not sure if that kid's going to come back. I get it. You know, 6'11 and can handle the rock and can shoot. The NBA drafts on potential more than they do on your present abilities. And so I could see that definitely happen for Nick. But so my point on that is just that's a new group that you're going to have to train. Now, there's some holdover from last season, but that's a lot of new guys that are probably going to fit into your lineup. So, but if he's able to successfully mesh those guys, it should have an instant impact. And we'll have to see. That's the charge and the challenge for Tom Crean. I'm looking forward to talking to him pretty soon and kind of get some details in that regard about, do you think you can successfully marry these six with the returning, what is it, seven? And come out with a strong five or eight, eight really you got to have, and that's his challenge right now. But I tell you what, unbelievable what we've seen on the recruiting. All four stars. I haven't seen whether Wheeler is he a top 100 player, Logan?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
So five top 100 players. I mean, I'm not sure that's ever been done, especially in this day where recruiting is, you know, much more sophisticated than it used to be in terms of the ranking systems.
Before we let you go, in an email from Scott that says, ask Chip if there were an 18 playoff, do you think the championship games would go away? I don't think they will. They bring in too much money for the conferences.
Yeah, again, Dave and I agree on the one thing, you know, all the time, that the money has much bigger of a factor in all this than anybody gives it credit for. And I certainly hope the conference championships don't go away. I mean, that model makes sense to me, okay? I mean, just like they do in the NCAA tournament, you know? I think they should, if anything, in my opinion, I don't know. There is a discussion of a model of that going away, but that's mostly coming out of the Big Ten. It's not coming from the SEC. And the SEC swings a big stick, as we all know, when it comes with the NCAA. But if anything, it should give those conference games more weight, that, like, you've got to get into that conference game and you have to win your conference for an automatic bid into the college football playoff. Makes great sense to me. It makes those playoff games even more exciting, because, you know, one team or another is going to stamp their ticket. And then people say, well, what if Alabama's playing a 7-5 Florida team? Well, you know, there's more power to them. I mean, if a Florida team is 7-5 and can defeat an undefeated Alabama team, more power to it, and they should have the opportunity to get in via the wild card. So, I think that's a great model. That's where I think it should go, and that's where I think it eventually will go. But we'll see.
Chip, always great talking to you. We appreciate it, and we will catch you again next week.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.